All right, let's hear from the argument on behalf of the Sheffield Trust.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Ilya Berenstein. I'm here on behalf of the Sheffield Trust. And we are here to decide whether the District Court properly granted the appellee's 12B6 motion in a suit where we alleged ownership of the hole or the void that was created after the coal removal. I don't think there's any argument that my clients own 25% or 12.5% each of all other minerals in the underground estate. I don't think there's any argument that the appellee at some time or still is dumping hazardous, well, we say hazardous waters into that void of what used to be the VP3 mine. I don't think there's any argument that out of the 5,000 acres that the VP3 mine was comprised of, about 2,750 acres is what 25% of all other minerals my clients own. So the only question is whether the, by virtue of owning 25% of all other minerals in more than one half of the property, whether we have pled properly before the court that we own the void. And that's the question before the court, I think. To talk about the void first, I think that there's two cases that we have struggled with and you know, talked about, and that would be the Levisa Coal versus Consolidation Coal, and also the Claiborne versus Camilla Red Ash Coal Company. The Levisa Coal, talking about the same property and the same interest, which are the coal interest owners of my clients, the other children of the pops.
How do they have any interest in the coal?
My clients or?
Your clients.
My clients don't have any interest in coal at all.
All right, so how does Levisa Coal help you?
The way we look at the Levisa Coal case, Your Honor, is that Levisa Coal specifically said that neither Levisa Coal nor the appellees, the Island Creek Coal Company that used to be the mining company, or the Consolidation Coal Company that bought it after that, have any interest in the void. So what we say is that because they don't have any interest in the void, the remainder owns it. And my clients are the remainder. They are the owners of the all other minerals. And in my mind, I mean, if you read the 1937 deed, the December 4th,
well, if the coal interests don't have an interest in the void, how could your, I mean, your folks aren't the surface owners.
They're not.
So tell me how that, under Virginia law, how
sure
their interest gives them any interest, title interest in the void.
The way I see it is that the first severance in this particular case occurred in 1908. That's when the Hara people have bought the underground estate. And that's when the first severance occurred. And then Hara Estate sold it to Hara Coal Company and sold it to, I want to say, Prater Coal Company, that ultimately sold it to the Pabst and Combs people. And at none of the deeds that I have seen, there is a reservation of the void. Okay? So under the Virginia law, the way I read the Virginia law, unless in the deed there is a specific reservation of the right, that reservation goes with whoever transferred it. That transferred the underground estate. Void was not even a question of that. Nobody knew that void at one time would become valuable.
Well, that's if you assume, as a matter of Virginia real estate law, that the voids do not remain as a reversionary interest in the surface owner, the original grantor.
Correct, yeah. I didn't see anything in the Virginia law that says the voids, and I might be wrong, you know, it's a possibility, but I don't think there's anything under the Virginia law that says that the voids are reversionary interest to the surface owners. Okay? The way I read it is that as soon as the transfer occurred, the underground estate became the property of the Combs and the Pabst.
Well, now the estate that's transferred in all these deeds are mineral interest estates. They're not an interest in the race, that is, the actual real estate. There's not an interest, a fee simple interest that's granted in the actual property. Yep. So you've got to show us why the surface owner doesn't retain those rights, and where there is a conveyance or some principle of law gives your client an interest, a real estate law interest in the void that in turn gives them standing.
I understand, Your Honor. What we're relying on is that December 4th deed says all of the coal, oil, and gas, as well as all such other minerals, metals, and timber, together with all rights, privileges, and easements. And I would say that all rights, privileges, and easements encompasses the void as well. And the reason for that argument is that they, at that time, in 1937, 1908, 1929, while the transfer were occurring, could not imagine that the void would become valuable. And what I usually use to illustrate that as an argument is that at one time, methane gas was not valuable. They were just venting it into atmosphere. And then methane gas becomes valuable, and there is a big argument over who owns methane gas, whether the coal owner owns it because methane gas is a byproduct of coal, or whether the gas owner owns it. So, and eventually, I think Virginia Supreme Court held that it's the gas owner. So my position is that together with all rights, privileges, and easements is what creates the interest in the void in my clients. We also have relied on the statute, if I might have 1 second to find it. And the statute is 55-154-2, which has now been changed. The statute used to read that, except as otherwise provided in the deed by which the owner of the mineral derives title, the owner of the minerals shall be presumed to be the owner of the shell, container, chamber, passage, and space opened on the ground. And Judge Jones in the lower court and I, we were arguing about that, and he said that the way he reads the statute, that gives the interest to the coal company anyways, because they are the owners of the minerals. And my argument...
I thought that statute had an exclusion for any transaction prior to 1980 or 81.
It did, Your Honor, but there was no provision of the subchange shall not affect...
That's what your chain of title is.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
So that's what your chain of title is. It goes back
prior
to 1981.
It does, but we do not have any contractual obligation with them. So that's why we think that that applies to us. So that's the logic that we were relying when we were filing under 55-154-2, which has since been changed. And my position was if Judge Jones was correct in his interpretation of the statute, why was there such a concerted effort to change the statute to now say that the coal operator who removed the coal now owns the chamber which was created by the removal of the coal? So my position was, why would they do that? I mean, I'm not accusing Consolidated Coal Company of doing it. I'm just saying that somebody was pushing it, and pushing it really hard. There was a, you know, concerted effort in 2010, 2011, and finally 2012, the statute have passed, and now it says what it says. And under the way it reads right now, we have no rights whatsoever, but we, of course, have filed this before. So that's where we are with the void.
If we look at the Judge Jones that relied on Claiborne versus Camilla Red Ash Coal Company, which was a defining case from 1920, which also dealt with a hole in the ground that was used by the coal company after they removed the coal to transport, coal from one side of the mine to another side of the mine. And that particular case, if I might quote the court, says the owner of the coal is not the owner of the hole and cannot forever prevent others from removing underlying strata. So our position is that, in his opinion, Judge Jones said that if there's any coal in it, no time did we say that they have removed any coal, so the appellee owns it because there is coal there. So, and our position was, well, you cannot forever prevent us because you have some coal left there. Well, first of all, the coal is now polluted by the hazardous waters that were dumped in it, and I don't think that there is any way that they're going to be mining it any soon or ever. And secondly, you can't just by keeping one pillar of coal forever prevent my client from exploring his interest. Now, the question is whether that interest is worth anything, and of course, under the assumption part of our suit, we believe it does. We believe it's a lot of money. Of course, under the trespass, it depends on, you know, whether there was any damages to our all other minerals. And at one point of the argument was Judge Jones, before Judge Jones, I'm sorry, he asked me, well, what other minerals? And I have said, I don't know. And I don't know which other minerals there are because we can't get to them. They're flooded. If I send my geologist there, I think that we probably would be stopped by the FPLE. But we don't know what it is. There are other minerals. I mean, it could be anything. Until we're allowed to go there and check it, I don't know what to tell you, but there are other minerals. And my only avenue of enforcing my right is to file the lawsuit. And that's what we did in this particular case. So that's what we're relying on. Now, as to the whether we have sufficiently pled. We went on for 11 pages in our amended complaint. We have attached 8 exhibits. And as the court well knows, exhibits become part of the pleadings. I can't imagine what else we could have done to sufficiently plead in it. And I know that the appellees are relying on the Archgrove versus Iqbal case, which has made the whole pleadings for the plaintiffs in federal court a lot more particular. But I think that Iqbal case is a little bit different than our case. The way I was reading Iqbal case, it was specifically talking about specific right. It's kind of like pleading fraud in state court. And, you know, you need to have specific things to plead fraud. But in this particular case, I mean, the only thing we're pleading for is we have a right to avoid. We have a right to this particular property. You have trespassed on it. You have assumpted it. And now we want to be paid for it. And are we looking for a payday? Yes, we are looking for a payday. I mean, my client does want to get paid because his interest was specifically trespassed upon. His interest was used to the benefit of the appellee, and his interest was specifically used in the sense that they would have spent a lot more money trucking that water or using some other way of getting rid of it, and instead they just dumped it into the void. Unless the court has any more questions, I've reserved the remainder of my time for a rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Let's hear from Consolidation Coal.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, I am James Creekmore from the Creekmore Law Firm in Blacksburg, Virginia. My colleague and co-counsel, Jonathan Blank from McGuire Woods, is here with me on behalf of Consolidation Coal Company. The district court did not err in finding that the plaintiffs did not establish factual predicates necessary for any or all of their claims in this case. Under the now familiar pleading standard in both Iqbal and Twombly, there does have to be a plausible pleading of an injury in fact to confer upon a plaintiff standing to bring a claim under any one of the various common law tort actions that the plaintiffs have sought to pursue. In this particular case, the district court judge found that the plaintiffs did not establish either factual predicates for an ownership interest in the mine voids or factual predicates for an injury to whatever minerals may exist in the property that the plaintiffs claim an interest in today. We can go back and look at the deeded language, but I know that's in the record before Your Honors. Presently, all that is required of this court is to look at the plaintiff's amended complaint and see that the plaintiffs have mixed up, occasionally juxtaposed, their identification of their property interest. At no point in time, anywhere in the plaintiff's complaint, does the plaintiff assert and express ownership interest in the mine voids. The plaintiffs argue that they own 25% of all such other minerals as may exist in the property, but at no point in time do the plaintiffs identify what minerals those are, where those minerals may be, how those minerals may have contributed to the mine void, or even argue from that ownership interest that they do own the mine void itself. There are many conveyances in Virginia that may not come to fruition. There are plenty of deeds in Virginia that convey oil interest where oil has not been found on the property. It is insufficient for a plaintiff to merely identify the deeded language as establishing the basis for his claim without being able to come forward to the court and identify the location of his property interest that is interfered with or injured. In this particular case, the district court judge carefully and closely looked at the language of the amended complaint and found that the plaintiffs failed on its face to establish any factual predicate for an ownership of the void that could have allowed them to seek any redress or any claim for compensation from Consolidation Coal Company for using the mine void. The plaintiff similarly
did anything more that you need to add?
I don't need to add anything more, Judge. Thank you very much for your time. That's our argument.
Anything in reply?
It just repeated again that we didn't allege what minerals are and that any minerals of our minerals were removed in the creation of the hole. We did at one time say that we alleged that all other minerals were removed incident to mining. I mean, when you mine, there are stratas of a coal and there are stratas of all other minerals. I mean, once again, I don't know what they are because we can't get there. I can't get a geologist there because it is flooded. So our position is that we did allege enough. We would ask the court respectfully to overrule the district court's decision and allow us to proceed. Specifically, without even allowing us to do discovery, it is hard. It was hard for us to tell them exactly where it's located. We told them by the deeds where it's located. I don't know what else I can do. I mean, unless they want a GPS location, we told them where it's located. They know exactly where it's located. So I would thank the court, and unless the court has any more questions, that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.